I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
It's our constitutional duty to do oversight. Now, in that video, that was your answer to a question to me 2 years ago when I said how many agents or assets of the government were present on January 5th and January 6th and agitating in the crowd to go into the Capitol and how many went into the Capitol. Can you answer that now?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Oh, last time, you don't know how many there were or there were none?
I don't know the answer to either of those questions. If there were any, I don't know how many. I don't know whether there are any.
I think you may have just perjured yourself that you don't know that there were any. You want to say that again, that you don't know that there were any?
I have no personal knowledge of this matter.
I have no personal knowledge of this matter. There again is mealy mouth A.G. Merrick Garland as being questioned in the House Committee yesterday, House Judiciary Committee. The questioning at that time was coming to him from Kentucky Congressman Massey and asking how many inside the January 6th event that you guys said was a revolution, an insurrection, an attempt to overthrow the government, how many of those who were inside the Capitol and egging people on were actually FBI undercover agents? He got asked that question previously, 2 years ago. I don't know. Now, do you not think that if that question is thrown at you, you would damn well have the answer the next time the question is raised? Well, you would think wrong, at least with A.G. Merrick Garland. Once again, I thank you for joining us. This is September 21, 2023. We began the first of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA for you, airing right here back to back. And, of course, while on the air, we are streaming video for you. You can see it at Larry Connors USA, Facebook and Twitter, or News Talk STL, Facebook and Twitter, and on Rumble. So we've got a lot of ways for you to see it. If you miss any part of the program, of any program, remember, go to LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA.com, and you'll find everything you want. And then share it with others who might have missed it. So part of this questioning going on yesterday is we spent a lot of time then because A.G. Merrick Garland is a pivot point for how corrupt this organization, I should say, our government currently is. But it is an organization under Biden, a corrupt organization, weaponized. Biden's weaponized the DOJ by using, one, A.G. Merrick Garland, who is the attorney general, who is over the DOJ, weaponizing the FBI as well. And, of course, we have the IRS and any other agency they want to use against you. I don't care if it's involving what they consider a riot, an insurrection, and fabricating charges, or if it's you've got a gas stove in your house. We're going to come take that away from you. This is not what this country was founded on. And the way this administration has been operating is not what the Constitution allows. But they're getting by with it. So far. I love that phrase. So far. Because right now they're being held more accountable. But I have to remind you, if we did not have, I say we, the conservatives, Republicans have control of the House, you still wouldn't know any of this. It would have just gone away. The same thing, reference Hillary Clinton, when she was running against Trump. If there were not enough inquiries made then as to the origin of the Steele dossier, which is a complete political trick put together by Hillary and the Democrat National Committee. You doubt me? Well, Hillary and the Democrat National Committee paid a fine rather than discuss it. We'll just pay money. Let it go. And now, of course, we had yesterday the House Judiciary Chair, Jim Jordan, going after the AG and other members going after him. When it came to the Democrats, because they get their chance to ask questions, my God, they might as well have been inviting him in for tea and crumpets, because they were not going to ask any tough questions. Any question that appeared to be tough was really a setup so he could hit a softball right out of the ballpark. But that one statement that Massey made in response to, as Merrick Garland is stumbling around on his answers, I want to go back to that and then pick it up more, because what Massey points out is the thing Merrick Garland should fear the most.
I think you may have just perjured yourself that you don't know that there were any. You want to say that again, that you don't know that there were any?
I have no personal knowledge of this matter. I think what I said the last time.
You've had 2 years to find out. And the day, by the way, that was in reference to Ray Epps, and yesterday you indicted him. Isn't that a wonderful coincidence? On a misdemeanor. Meanwhile, you're sending grandmas to prison. You're putting people away for 20 years for merely filming. Some people weren't even there yet. You've got the guy on video who's saying go into the Capitol. He's directing people to the Capitol before the speech ends. He's at the site of the first breach. You've got all the goods on him. 10 videos, and it's an indictment for a misdemeanor? The American public isn't buying it.
No, we're not. We're not buying it at all. Now, Ray Epps, the story there is, many were claiming that he was, depending on your viewpoint, he was part of the right-wing Proud Boys, and he was, you know, he was as vicious as any of the conservative, the far, far right, the ones I hate, by the way. Or he was an FBI agent and also part of the Proud Boys, or he was just a planted FBI agent to act as if he were part of the Proud Boys and be agitating the crowd. And there are clear pictures. There's video repeatedly of showing him telling people to go to the Capitol, go to the Capitol. Now, that in itself, of what I saw, did not mean that he was instigating anything other than go to the Capitol. But the basic approach had been, and I hate to admit this on one hand, Epps served in the Marines, and he is a president of the Oath Keepers, one Oath Keepers chapter. And of course, there have been a lot of conspiracy theories brought up on Twitter. Also, Tucker Carlson did it, and others, all accusing Epps of actually being an FBI agent, or at least a plant inside the Oath Keepers. Maybe he was already there and then became an informant. Or maybe he was sent in to become part of it, and he was always an FBI agent. And yes, they were issuing charges on him yesterday while the hearings were underway. But at the same time, I mean, you talk about plotting your schedule and looking at the calendar and what's coming. To that extent, the Department of Justice and AG Merrick Garland are very good. And in fact, he wanted to make sure you understood his answer. Well, the time was up for Congressman Massey. They allotted a little more time for Garland to make his response on the questions about Epps.
With respect to Mr. Epps, the FBI has said that he was not an employee or informant of the FBI. Mr. Epps has been charged, and there's a proceeding, I believe, going on today on that subject.
The charge is a joke.
The charge is a joke. The last words coming from Kentucky Congressman Massey, and I think many of us would agree. As are many of the charges that have been filed against people who were simply in the Capitol. They were doing nothing. There's clear video that was not shown to January 6th committee, or at least what they presented as evidence of rioting. And yes, those who battled Capitol police guards and hitting them and striking and attacking them, they're wrong. They should be charged. But others got there. The doors are open. Maybe even a guard holding a door open. In some cases, they were told. They walk in. They thought, okay, we're here. See the Capitol. It is the people's house. Now, going into private offices such as Pelosi's office, you could certainly call that trespassing, because you don't get in there unless you're invited. been walking to the rotunda of the Capitol, as many were, and they were taking pictures. They were not causing a disturbance. They were not taking part in an insurrection. There was only one gun found, and that was when they arrested a guy. He had never waved the gun around or threatened anyone with it. And, of course, the only person killed that day inside the Capitol was Ashley Bobbitt as she tried to crawl through a window into the House chambers, shot by Capitol Police guard. And I know I've made a lot of enemies on my points on this, but I'm not budging. She would be considered a patriot for her service to our country in the Air Force, but she had numerous occasions to stop short of crawling through that window. And whether or not she was battling some of the guards before she got there, I don't know. But when she didn't break the window, but when it's open and she starts to crawl through it into the chamber, put yourself inside the chamber, and you're the guard, and you got to protect the legislators. And this person's coming through, they've got a backpack on, you do not know, is this a suicide bomber? You cannot let that person inside the chamber. He fired one shot, blew her back out of the window, and of course she died, and that's unfortunate, but she had opportunities to stop before she got there. But if you're going to have an insurrection, you really need control of the military. There was no effort to do that. And you certainly need to go in with guns rather than banners and yelling. None of that happened either. Now, yesterday also, in the process of the questioning to Merrick Garland, I want to go back to the questions raised by Louisiana Congressman Mike Johnson, because you just heard Congressman Massey talk about, you can't tell us how many FBI agents, even though I asked you 2 years ago, you still don't know. Are you perjuring yourself? Well, let's go back to a similar line of questioning that came yesterday from Congressman Johnson in his question to Garland.
Let me just get right to the chase. Has anyone from the White House provided direction at any time to you personally or to any senior officials at the DOJ regarding how the Hunter Biden investigation was to be carried out?
No.
Have you had personal contact with anyone at FBI headquarters about the Hunter Biden investigation?
I don't recollect the answer to that question, but the FBI works for the Justice Department. I'm sorry.
You don't recollect whether you've talked with anybody at FBI headquarters about an investigation of the president's son?
I don't believe that I did.
That's a bald-faced lie. And he actually said, I don't recollect my answer. In other words, what did I say before? And if you did not talk to the FBI about the investigation into Hunter Biden, you're the head of the Department of Justice. You failed your job simply by not doing it. Didn't have to say you were interfering, but yes, I asked them what's going on. I just want a status report. He could have done that. That would have been acceptable. But right there again, on the edge, if not deep into perjury. And if you're looking for problems, you don't have to spend all the time and the money that got spent on January 6th. There's a very simple charge against Hunter Biden. And again, Congressman Johnson of Louisiana points out, you guys blew this one.
Why has the Justice Department dragged this investigation out for so long? Does it really take years to determine if Hunter Biden lied on a federal form related to purchasing a firearm?
Mr. Weiss was a longtime career prosecutor. President Trump appointed him as...
You're not answering the question. Is that standard procedure? Should it take that long to make such a simple determination?
I'm answering the question. Mm-hmm. Give me an opportunity to do so.
Okay.
He was charged with that investigation under the previous administration. He's continued. He knows how to conduct investigations, and I have not intruded or attempted to evaluate that because that was the promise I made to the Senate.
The whistleblowers gave us testimony about serious misconduct of the Justice Department in regards to the preferential treatment afforded Hunter Biden. Has your office requested an investigation into that?
There are well-known processes for how whistleblowers make their claims. I am a strong proponent of whistleblowers and a strong defender. We have an Inspector General's office. We have an Office of Professional Responsibility. That is the way in which complaints from whistleblowers should be and are appropriately handled.
Another no answer. All right, let me turn to something else. How's Bidenomics working for you, by the way? Even CNNN has to admit this is not good for Biden going into the 2024 election.
And also new tonight, the Fed signaling that interest rates will go up more by the end of the year, so in just in the next few months, even as the central bank opted not to hike them today. One reason for the concern is inflation. It's once again on the rise, specifically energy prices. Drivers in 11 states already pay $4 a gallon, according to AAA. And all of this is raising alarm bells in the White House, where inflation is a huge worry in an election cycle, especially now that President Biden has staked his reelection argument on an economic recovery he dubs Bidenomics.
In other words, it's not looking good, right? That's CNNN. Now listen to the CNNN White House reporter picking up on how dire it's getting inside the White House.
They are worried about this, Aaron. Publicly, officials talk up the data that excludes groceries and gas prices, saying that it's volatile, it's unpredictable. But privately, they acknowledge that those are the two components where consumers and voters feel the most regular and sustained financial pain, and to which President Biden's favorability fortunes are most closely tied. For now, I'm told they're going to take a wait-and-see approach to see if, now that the economy is coming off of the peak travel and air conditioning season, whether that alone allows prices to come down. But Aaron, as you know, the cruelest irony about all of this is that unless Saudi Arabia and Russia decide to start pumping more oil all of a sudden, or the economy goes into a recession, there's not really going to be a dramatic impact.
Not very good news at all, right? Well, you go to the Breitbart economic analyst John Carney. He says Biden brought this on himself.
I think oil is definitely going to reach $100 a barrel, and I don't see a reason why it's going to come down. The Biden administration really messed up by releasing so much from the strategic reserves. Right now, they have nothing left. They fired all the bullets, more or less. And so there's not a source of oil that can be released into the market to bring down prices. The Saudis and the Russians want oil up near $100, and that's where it's going to go. Well, I do think that the energy production has a lot to do with it. Right now, the U.S. is actually producing a lot of energy. We could be producing a lot more. But the U.K., frankly, has intentionally crippled itself, basically took a hammer to its own knee, and it cannot produce enough energy. It doesn't have to be dependent. It especially doesn't have to be dependent on Russia. That was a colossal policy failure. We make so much liquefied natural gas in the U.S., we actually could be the supplier to the UK, to all of Europe. We should cement that relationship and make sure that this dependency on Russia never comes back.
And Reagan had warned them of that when he was president. Do not depend on Russia for your fuel supplies. And of course, Trump made our nation energy independent, and he topped off our strategic reserves. Biden's tapped into it to buy votes. He'll do it again before Thanksgiving if he can. Before this hour is over, we have a frightening prediction from Iran. The U.S. is history. That's what they say. Plus, in the next hour, all the experts who have predicted the end of the world because we use fossil fuels, we're going to blow that out of the water. Up next, the author of a book, and his title of the book says everything. Do not comply. A lot to go. Lock and low, ready on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world, cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. I really, really enjoy a great cigar and a premium whiskey. And if you do, you should join me at Lit Cigar Lounge in the district off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit is open to everyone, but I decided to become a member. You can too. Get special gifts, special events. Ladies, don't be intimidated. Bring a group of girlfriends. You'll also enjoy Lit Cigar Lounge. Lit also has a cigar and tobacco shop on Main Street in Old St. Charles. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com.
Your own personal Jesus. Someone to hear your prayers. Someone who cares. Your own personal Jesus. Someone to hear your prayers. Someone who's there.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My next guest has a book out. It's a best-selling book. You can find it on Amazon. And the title tells you almost everything right away. Not that you don't want no details, but I think it's going to echo with many of you and say, right on, the title, Do Not Comply, Taking Power Back from America's Corrupt Elite. Hello, Will, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, good, glad we thought we lost you for a moment. Just talking about book and the title itself, I mean, you got to love the title in this day and age, Do Not Comply. Go ahead.
Well, it's funny. We made that title about a year ago, and we're thinking, huh, I wonder if Do Not Comply is still going to be relevant in a year. And it turns out it's more relevant than ever. You got them trying to bring back mask mandates, developing new COVID vaccines, and even when it comes to things that aren't related to COVID, there's all sorts of elites and bureaucrats who want you to comply with something. So I think the title is very relevant, and hopefully it's a lesson for people if they get the chance to read it.
Well, I have no doubt that it hits the notes that they're concerned about and issues. And as you say, when we're talking about the America corrupt elite, how are you defining them? You're getting a little noise here. I hope you're steady with that cell signal so we don't lose you. Go ahead.
I think we're all good. Yeah. The elites in this country are more than just the Dr. Fauci's and Joe Biden's. It is the lobbying machine in America. It's the rest of the Democrats. It's the Rhino Republicans. It's the teachers' union, the entire education system, doctors, tech. It is a slew of people, organizations, and systems that are in place that are trying to turn Americans into slaves. And my answer to all of them is no, we will not comply. We will not comply with all the people who want us to be these slaves. We will stand up as Americans are supposed to be.
And as you also point out, they often are trying to pit us against each other based on race, demographics, income, education, anything.
Well, you think about the 2016 election, also the 2020 election, and you had Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders being the top two candidates, essentially. Now, Bernie Sanders, a radical socialist, but he was a populist candidate. He appealed to the common man. Donald Trump was a populist candidate, appealed to the common man. So even though those two politically were very different, they were talking to the same sorts of people, which is why it made them so popular, because they were both going against the elites in this country. And so I think that we're being put with all these kind of, as I describe it, more phony issues that aren't really all that important, when in reality, the problems that face this country are spiritual battles, are deeper than just your Republican versus Democrat paradigm.
And speaking of spiritual battle, we are in our next segment for our listeners in our second hour. We're going to focus on a prayer service in a church for drag queens. And I'm all for praying for people that need help, but regardless of who they are, color, or anything else, but we're basically praying for them to take a bigger role in our children's lives. At least that's what they were doing in this prayer service.
The church has to take a bigger place in people's lives. I think that so many of the problems that we have in America right now start from the pulpit. I mean, you have some of these pastors who have Black Lives Matter signs at their churches. They have gay pride flags. They're doing gay weddings. I mean, they're bringing drag shows to the churches, totally going against God's work. Or they come on and say, Jesus was a socialist and Jesus was just about love. Jesus was about love, but he also knew that he had to say things that were true. When he was in front of the Pharisees, what did he say? He said, you den of vipers. He was not afraid to call people in the face the evil for that they were doing. And so we have to do the exact same thing here on this earth. We can't just be this progressive type of Christian who kind of sits back and lets the world go around us.
Well, I agree fully with that. You've got to be an activist to that extent, just preaching God's word and following the best you can. We're all human. We're all sinners. But when a church organizes a prayer service praying for drag queens to be basically models for our children, that's the wrong road to go down.
Oh, of course it's the wrong road to go down. I mean, I talk a lot in my first chapter of the book about ancient Rome, how ancient Rome's falling is very similar to America's. And one of the things that was so common in ancient Rome and also ancient Greece was pederasty, which was older men sexualizing young children, mostly young boys. Yeah. Now you have in America today, you have these teachers and entertainment industry and media all sexualizing children. It's absolutely insane. It's wrong. But the fact that people don't see it as wrong shows how downgraded we are as a culture and how far we've come from the founding of this country.
You know who we got lectured to yesterday from the United Nations, ironically, was the Iranian president pointing out that the Quran says basically there are two genders, man and woman, we're put here by God, and we're to tend those we have around us. In other words, preaching of love and peace and two genders, Sharia law does not accept homosexuality, and you'd be stoned to death, and we're being preached to in our nation by the leader of a terrorist nation about love.
Yeah, well, this is what happens on the world stage when you have Joe Biden in office who makes us look like the weakest country in the world. I mean, energy independence we don't have. We have to rely on other countries for our energy now and for basically our entire culture. We're no longer the America that when we had Trump with the dominance and, I guess you could say, intimidation that we had on the world stage, so other countries come in and feel like now they have to lecture us. It should be the other way. Americans should be telling the rest of the world the best ways to live, but now we have other countries coming in thinking they're the boss. We can't have that in America.
You're listening to Will Witt, author of the new book, Do Not Comply, Taking Power Back from America's Corrupt Elite. You can get it at Amazon and everywhere. You had a previous bestseller back in 2021, How to Win Friends and Influence Enemies. I always tell folks, let your enemies know about this program and listen.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I lived in Los Angeles for 5 years. I now live in Tampa, Florida. But when I lived in Los Angeles, I somewhat liked it for the fact that I always got to see people who I disagreed with.
Yeah.
You know, I would go to the store with no mask on and all these kind of things, and I would get into debates with people. I'd get into arguments with people all the time, and I was able to change lots of minds. The work that I did at PragerU and the purpose of that first book was teaching people how to change minds. I interviewed thousands of people on the streets about these very issues.
You know, I'm glad you brought up PragerU because before that, you were University of Colorado Boulder, and I got to tell you, the impression I've always had of University of Colorado Boulder decades ago, and I don't know where they stand recently, but it was a party school. You weren't going to learn anything, but now it's become so leftist. You left. Why?
Well, you're exactly right. CU Boulder was a massive party school, but it also was an indoctrination center. I was in a sociology class, and I had a black girl sitting next to me, and my teacher at the class pointed at the girl next to me, pointed at me, and said, "You are oppressing this girl because of the color of your skin."
Just because you're sitting there.
Just because I'm sitting there, just because I'm white. That doesn't make any sense. And so I was actually a liberal atheist before all of this. And it wasn't
until... Whoa. You were a liberal atheist?
I was, yes.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, my story just keeps getting better and better, huh?
Yeah.
But I was a liberal atheist, and I started researching all these different things, finding out about PragerU and other conservative values, Turning Point USA with Charlie Kirk, eventually started a chapter on my campus and then made a video for PragerU where I interviewed women what they thought about the wage gap. And I sent it to PragerU. They loved it, and they offered me a job. So after 2 years of school, I dropped out of college and moved to Los Angeles to go work for PragerU.
Well, now, when you look at what, of course, it certainly works with your book title as well, too, Masking and Any Other Instructions That Are Contrary to God's, purpose and agenda, and much less man's, when it's forced upon you to either mask or get a vaccination, and you're also forced to accept that we know best what's for your children, we will raise your children, and as you mentioned earlier, indoctrinate them, and they'll be better for it. And we will let them change genders if they want to, even if they're 5 years old.
Well, it's essentially the communist playbook. they want to have control over all of your life. And so when I say do not comply, we're talking about everything, not just COVID, the mask, and the vaccine. We're talking about exactly what you just said. Someone coming in, the state coming in and saying, we should have reign over your children. You're just a parent. We have expert teachers. I know some of these teachers in the elementary schools. I went to school and college with these people who are now teachers. They drank their way through college and just learned a bunch of leftist propaganda, and now they're teaching fourth graders that they can be one of 77 genders. Right? These people are not experts. The people in the government are not experts. They're bureaucrats. To think that we need to put all of our faith in them and give over control of our kids to the state is communism 101.
The problem, though, quite honestly, if there's a silver lining in COVID, we began to see through, quote, Zoom learning, which is a failure anyway, except for parents realizing what their kids were being taught. This has been percolating for a decade or more to begin to push the Marxist view upon kids. So when they come out, they're idealistic, and the best thing is we'll all be equal. Not everyone is always equal. It's always someone at the top, but you will be settled with that equal.
Well, it is a good thing that COVID woke people up, and, you know, a lot of things are starting to wake a lot of people up. You know what I mean? It's like the people in the gulags in Soviet Russia, they were woken up. They knew that what was happening to them was wrong, but they were still in the gulags. So what we have to do is say we are not content with being in the gulags.
But the problem is for many, I mean, they've got a job, they've got a family, and they might want to speak out against woke culture and everything at their workplace, DEI training and everything, but there's that paycheck and supporting your family.
Well, just imagine if all the people who are listening to your show right now, or all the people who watched my videos, all came and stood up for what they believed in. We wouldn't have the stigma of being a truth teller, making it so that you get fired or something like that, because there would be too many of us. We would overwhelm the system. But because people do not have that bravery inside of them right now, and are not going forward with what they really know to be true, then we are seeing this happen. We have let them do this to us. We have made it so that we can get fired or ostracized or shamed or shunned for our views because we have essentially given that up. We have to all be strong and take that stigma away and say, listen, we're a group of people who all believe in truth. You can't do this to us anymore, but, you know, one person can't do it. So I get it if you're just one person sitting here thinking this is really scary, I could lose my job, whatever it might be. But if all of us did it, if everyone came and did it, we could change the world.
Well, I want to thank you for your time. We'll have to have you back on more discussions. I'd like to do that.
Thank you. God bless you. I had a lot of fun. Appreciate it a lot.
You bet. God bless you. Will Witt, author of Do Not Comply. Coming up, have you noticed there has never been a mugshot of Hunter Biden? Interesting. Hot enough for you? Tired of hearing that question? It's certainly hot enough to damage your lawn and plants. Allen Outdoor Solutions can put in an irrigation system, save your landscaping, and save you from having to drag hoses in this heat. I've known Steve Allen for years. That's why I put my name with Allen Outdoor Solutions. Call 314-647-4800. 647-4800. Check the website and see everything Steve can do for you. AllenOutdoorSTL.com. You can spend a lot of restless nights trying to figure out how you're going to make all those credit card payments. Why not consolidate all your debt into one manageable payment? My friends at Homestead Financial Mortgage can help with a cash-out refinance. Contact them today. Take the first step in regaining your financial freedom. Use my website, Larry.HomesteadFinancial.com. Take charge of your financial future. Go to my website, Larry.HomesteadFinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit, and if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beal has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. I've done 2 tours of duty in Vietnam. I came home with a brand new plane. I take the seat from Colombia, Mexico. I just painted up a hotter down Copperhead Road.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Let me focus on something that is right in your face if you live along the border. And right now, every city and state is a border state. But of course, unless you're actually on the physical border of what was the border of our nation, you don't see it as directly. There's been video coming out repeatedly over the last several hours showing something like 7,000 migrants crossing into one Texas border town within 72 hours. 7,000. What have you been doing the last 72 hours? Well, you didn't have suddenly 7,000 people showing up in your area, did you? In your neighborhood, in your kids' schools area? And the Border Patrol agents say they've apprehended the 7,000 during the past 3 days, but that really means apprehension doesn't amount to much at all. The Biden administration is now pushing giving all of them a special ID with their picture and everything. Now, they're insisting we're just using this to track them and so forth and vetting them. They're not vetting anybody. There's no way they can vet 7,000 before they turn them loose in the interior of the country. It just can't happen. But again, it's doing it right now in this particular area, is showing that some are coming up on train loads from Monterey, getting closer to the border. And then once they begin to get closer, then they jump the train and they're coming across around Eagle Pass. And it's going to continue. And as I said, we have the Border Patrol. Basically, they're having to release hundreds of them because they're already overcrowded to these maxed out NGO charity shelters for right now, non-government operated. But let me assure you something. They're not doing it without making some money. And who's paying for it? That would be you. Your tax dollars are paying for these non-government operated. The shelters that are in place that the government actually has control of, they're overloaded. And, of course, we hear completely or constantly from the north, why are you sending everybody up here? They should not be doing it. Abbott is bad person, bad, bad person. Because he's sending busloads up here. And you got Eric Adams in New York complaining, we've got 10,000 here. 10,000? I just told you almost that many crossed at Eagle Pass in the last 72 hours. And they want you to think they have a big issue? They created it themselves. And in fact, to that extent, they have reached out to Biden and trying to get some help. They want help. They need federal help. And we also have the New York City Mayor Adams now telling Biden, you need to come visit one of our migrant hotels. good luck with that. He doesn't want to be photographed in the midst of all those migrants. Oh, would that mean he's opposed to brown people, as they claim Trump was? Well, they're not all brown. Many are black. Many are white. They're coming from Europe. They're coming from the Middle East. They're coming from Africa, any way they can get to the U.S., because they realize this is the time. If you can get to what was our southern border, then you can cross right over, and you're not going to have any issue. Oh, but here's something to keep in mind, and this is why they're going to rush forward. Well, actually, before I leave New York City, they are now having protests forming in front of a New York City migrant shelter. And these that are forming in front of a New York City shelter are not there in support of the illegals coming in. This is a former assisted living facility that has been turned into a migrant shelter, and protesters have gathered to keep some from getting off a bus for several hours in New York City. They have finally let them up, but about a dozen or more are banging on the bus windows and chanting, take them back. Even New Yorkers, mostly libs, are accepting the fact that this isn't working. It's not helping us. And Mayor Adams now saying, well, now you know, we had 10,000, now we're looking at, we got 60,000. So what's he do? He puts them on a bus, sends them further up north to another state, into northern New York, or sometimes they'll even pay money to put them on a plane to fly them back to somewhere. But to that extent, I'm sure that it's hoped by some of the countries they might have escaped from that they don't come back. And by that would be a perfect example of what has been happening, and that is Ecuador has so many Venezuelan migrants trying to get out of that communist country, they're asking for world help, world aid. We need world aid to help deal with Venezuelan migrants. They did that at the UN, asking, hey, help us, let's have some kind of band concert or something, raise money for Ecuador to house illegals. But here's what President Trump has stated. During a speech in Iowa, he said, one of the most important issues in this campaign is ending the nation-wrecking catastrophe on our southern border. Under my leadership, we had the most secure border in U.S. history, and that's a fact. And I added that point. He did say that. But back to his statement. Now we have the worst border in the history of the world, and that's a fact. Again, I added that. And he said, a vote for President Trump means Joe Biden's horror show at the southern border ends at high noon on Inauguration Day 2025. Upon my inauguration, I will immediately terminate every open border policy of the Biden administration. And then following the Eisenhower model, we will carry out the largest domestic deportation operation in American history. Dwight Eisenhower had what they called Operation Wetback. Now, I know nowadays that's considered a derogatory term. But he had promoted that even prior to becoming the GOP nominee, and Trump had even was doing it back in 2016. And he was saying people liked Ike, I like Ike. That was the expression, of course. They moved 1.5 million illegals out of our country, moved them just beyond the border, again, back into Mexico. And Mexico couldn't do much about it at that time. In fact, other than shuttle them farther south, which many times they did. But Trump says, you elect me, I will end this. Now, I wonder how many liberals in New York City are thinking, you know what? If nothing else, if the guy would do that, and if Mayor Eric Adams, another Democrat, and the governor of New York State, another Democrat, and the governor of Illinois, another Democrat, and the Chicago mayor, another Democrat, and all the other blue cities and states that said, we're sanctuary cities for illegals. And they're realizing, that was a dumb idea. No kidding. So what are they doing? They're looking for ways to get out, so they're doing it. Well, if they're going to continue doing that, and Trump gets in, and he shuts that down, that will be excellent. But let me give you another reason real quick as to why something needs to be done sooner than later. It won't happen under this administration. Out of Dallas comes a report, an illegal, previously deported, nine times from the U.S., comes back in. He gets back in. See how much we're vetting these people? They say they're vetting them. How in the hell would somebody come back nine times? Okay, maybe they get in once. All right, maybe they come back twice. But if you're really vetting them, there is no way they come back another time. But, of course, you're not allowed to ask if they're illegal. Can't stop them to inquire. Certainly not in the sanctuary cities. Now, this took place in Dallas, and Texas has had a hard line on it, but still, he ends up in Dallas and has no reason to be stopped by anybody at that point. But now he is because he ends up accused of killing his roommate in broad daylight. And then when the police came to arrest him, the 45-year-old turned on police. And actually, police apparently spotted the guy who just after he'd killed his roommate. So two officers stopped him, confronting him to get out of the car. And then he began shooting at police. They returned fire. Then he rushes off into an office. There began a police chase, but it finally came to an end when he came back. He did hit one of the officers in his chest, but thank God he had a ballistic vest on that saved his life. Yeah, that's what we want, is more open borders. If we, and do I hear anybody, do you hear any of the liberals saying, I've got extra room on my house, send them here, I will take care? No, not one of them. Do I hear Mayor Eric Adams saying, let's open up the governor's mansion, or Governor Hochul of New York, and she's saying, open the governor's mansion, and Eric Adams saying, let's open up City Hall and house. No, they're not doing any of that. See, they think everything is good because it's not impacting them directly, but they're beginning to realize the ripple effects or a tsunami that he might not be able to stop. Coming up at the United Nations, the Iranian president gets a chance to speak. Of course, it was already set in motion for him to do it. But the Iranian president said, basically, the U.S. is finished. It's finished. Now, that is rhetoric. We all know that. Just talk. But don't be so quick to dismiss it when we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, that was my reaction when I walked into Napoli C, now open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. And Napoli C is like walking into a two-level submarine. Fish just outside the portholes. The menu is going to be filled with various seafood, lobster, crab. Good luck with choosing. Napoli C is now open on the streets of St. Charles. Join me at any Cafe Napoli. Clayton, Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, are right next door, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
It is time now for the United States to bring a cessation to her traveling on the wrong path and choose the right side. Ladies and gentlemen, humanity is entering a new framework. Old powers will keep their current downward trajectory. They are the past and we are the future. I repeat once again, they represent the past and we represent the future. We are the future.
That was the statement in front of the UN at that point. That was the Iranian president, Raisi. And he made it very clear, the U.S. is done. Of course, I would disagree with it. I'm sure you would as well. But if you look at the way we're doing right now under the Biden administration, it certainly gives him reason to believe that we are the future, we being Iran and those with us, and the alliances they've been forming with Middle Eastern countries, including Saudi Arabia, and other alliances. They're not going to be good for the U.S., nor Israel. And so he can stand in front of the UN General Assembly and ramble on about a lot of things, but he came down to that one line that was important, as far as I'm concerned, and that is, we are the future. And he did ramble, by the way. Normally they're limited to amount of time, but he went over it. Normally they recommend 15 minutes. 15 minutes be best. Brevity is best. He went on for 35 minutes. Of course, you were listening to a translation of him. He also began with a lengthy sermon on the Muslim holy book, which built up to him calling for action against those who were burning the Quran by citizens of free nations. We're not burning the Quran in this nation. We're not doing any book burning. But he just kind of puts it out there, and it might fuel enough Muslims to simply accept that. There is something he said, though, regarding the Quran that I want to get into in the next hour, that we should look at as a lesson for us on how to improve our nation. I'll explain to you coming up. I'd asked the question earlier. Of course, when Donald Trump was booked in Georgia, oh, yeah, we're going to get a mugshot of him, and they were so happy, right? Well, of course, it's being turned into a campaign fundraiser for him because he didn't cower in a corner with his eyes down looking ashamed. He was defiant. But then you've got Hunter Biden did have to have his photograph taken when he was faced with charges. He had fingerprints, photograph taken. His own lawyer acknowledged that. But where is the photograph? A spokesman for the U.S. Attorney's Office tells reporters, the mugshot remains concealed because the Department of Justice policy prohibits my office from providing photographs of defendants prosecuted in federal court. That is a BS. Goes on to point out that he's just charged, he's not convicted. That's like everyone. Trump is charged, he's not convicted of anyone. Now, granted, that's state charge, not a federal charge, but we also have to look at the gun violation, and most folks, you get a picture of them, they're going to be available. And, of course, don't forget the IRS stuff. Is there a mugshot? We don't know. Do I really care what he looks like in? I really don't. It's just, again, stick in your eye if you think we're going to have equal justice under this administration. Coming up in the next hour, we are going to deal with this church that decided to hold a special prayer session for drag queens, in contrast to being preached to by the leader of the Muslim nation.